People don't know, but Papain sugar is a euphemism for fellatio. Some people don't.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyson, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
I am not leveling up my D&D character right now.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. All right, I guess we each have to list the things we're not doing right now. I am not spitting in a spittoon. I am not wiping pizza sauce off the tip of my nose. Let's see.
Jonathan, what are you not doing?
I am not getting a massage. I'm not turning into a monkey on Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, man. So those two things, one of them you will probably hear about in the outtakes. One of them you will only hear about if you're a member, because Danae talks about her career as a massage therapist in our members-only show. So you're not privy to those stories unless you support.
I like your salty balls. What is that sketch on SNL? What is that?
Sweaty
balls. Thank you. Salty. Good God.
Suck on my chocolate salty balls.
I also learned massage.
Put them
clinic,
in your mouth and suck them.
Sorry. Massage clinic professional. Massage parlor. Maybe not.
A new lesson for Jonathan, which is always a good one to have. So if you want to hear any of that, now's a great time to say you should be a member. You can be a member of CinemaSins.
What level membership do you have to be to get the bonus podcast?
Every CinemaSins member gets the bonus podcast. Okay. So
I'm about to say to get the massage.
that's the way up membership right there. So yeah, that's the unlisted. That's a super secret unlisted membership right there.
What did Chris say that one time? Is that like the $1 million a month?
Right.
Or something
yeah.
That?
Something like that. We are excited to tell you all about all the fun stuff from this past week in the universe of the Sinin, and we'll get right into it. Let's get into the Sin Side Scoop.
What's he building in there?
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sinning them, how we felt about the stuff we're sinning in general. And we'll start with TV Sins and finishing up the Rick and Morty run with Star-Mort Return of the Jedi.
Are you guys feeling about that? Like, how that it's over?
You know, that's a good question. We can probably start with that because it was a little bit of an experiment for us, both in the fact that I am now doing narration on the channel. And so we started with these Rick and Morty episodes and doing that, as well as sending something that just happened. And man, on all accounts, I'm pumped. I think it went really well. It had a lot of fun. People seem to really enjoy it. I am already looking forward to what is that next opportunity to send stuff as it happens. I honestly, maybe I'm just like kind of in the moment right now. I feel like it might be the future of the channel in some ways, where the stuff we're sending is the new stuff, you know?
What?
And then every once in a while, we'll go back and do a pilot of an old show or that kind of thing. I don't know. It's just something really activating about it.
Yeah, Corona kind of, I don't know when there's going to be consistently new television. It kind of feels like, you know, we were looking at like August. There's definitely not as much new stuff coming out over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
So we'd probably have to wait till that happens. But yeah, I mean, it would have to be a very specific show. I mean, I don't think we'll be doing this for like Chicago PD. I'm just going to guess. That's not one we're going to be tackling.
It's interesting because you kind of look, it's almost like recap culture. I don't know if you've ever studied like YouTube channels that do episode recaps of, you know, popular shows, written recaps. A lot of blogs will do that kind of thing. I think of TV Without Pity as, you know, one of the most famous examples of that kind of thing. So there is a world where it would be possible in some way, if we could figure it out, where we would send, you know, episodes of America's Got Talent every week as the new episode happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's just this kind of thing where it's like, it's kind of in the public consciousness right now for a certain group of people who would love to hear about all the mistakes and all the stupidity of reality. You know what I mean? There's just,
yeah.
I don't know, there's a lot of interesting options that opens up. And I'm not saying we're going to do any of that. It's just nice to expand our idea of what's possible with sinning television. And I think it really achieve that. Danae, what did you think?
I really love when an idea becomes reality and then it went well. And so it feels really good. It feels like it was a really good experiment, a good project, a good test of our team. So for me, my excitement is not even about like the content. It's like, it's more what we were able to accomplish as a group, because there were concerns going in, like, are we going to be able to do this? And now we sort of have tested our mettle a little bit, not only as the writers and as a new narrator, but even the editing team, like being able to turn a video around and work together quickly. I wonder if it's always going to be like something that we can continue to keep up. I think for the short run, it was a really good experiment, and we should do what I always think about doing after a project ends, which is, okay, let's go back. Let's talk about what went well, what didn't go well, what we do differently. But I think it was a major success from a project level. And also it was fun too, because we got to have more people see our work, because our content was really relevant in the moment. And so people were finding it in a different way for the first time.
The quickest of the five was 72 hours air to upload. And that's exciting. The idea that we could have, and you may not realize that because we posted them the Monday after. So they all mm-hmm. posted about 8 days after air. But a couple of them were ready like that Wednesday night / Thursday morning, you know? And yeah. that's exciting to know that we can turn around a good video in 3 days from air.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right. Well, everything had to be done immediately, which was daunting, but also when it was done, it felt really good, because you're like, oh, I'm not dragging that out over like 3 or 4 days.
It's a super different experience, because from writing to editing, it comes to the front. And sometimes in our flow, just, you're here for the show to listen to behind the scenes stuff. But sometimes we'll have movies that have to be done immediately, and they are a priority over everything. So I would wonder if we had multiple, immediately do main channel content that needed to have editing and eyeballs on it, if that would ever interrupt the flow of us being able to do something so turnaround. The immediacy was intimidating for me, not only because I had to watch it and turn it in on Monday. And that sometimes I think would be difficult if we had a lot of other scripts that were due or projects that were going on. So the immediacy of it is probably my least favorite part, but it feels really cool to be so relevant. And so that's the level of work that we know we can do. And I think it went really well.
Yeah.
Would I want to do it every single week? I don't know. But because we have a writing team, the workload was, even really nicely kind of spread out amongst us. And we had mm-hmm. Chris writing regularly. So he actually had stuff to say about this episode too. So whenever you're ready, we'll just jump on in.
Yeah, let's start with our thoughts on the episode. This was an Atkinson-Watkins script. So Chris and Jonathan were the main writers on this. And what Chris have to say about this episode, the final episode of season 4.
I'm going to ask Aaron, before I do this, can you start to like modulate my voice and like post, to where I have some sort of cool like reverb? Oh, okay.
I mean, I can. I just don't want to.
Okay. He said Rick Turn of the Jerry is the
Jerry. No, you're fine. That's my bad.
Is the most sell-outingest episode in their history, with Wrangler, Shoney's, and of course Wendy's making an appearance, and they tend to do a decent job of making that funny. Overall, it's not a great episode, but it'll do. I'm hoping that now that everything is more stable, they'll do a bang-up job next season. My favorite thing I picked up on this episode is how the alien ship looking for Beth finds Morty on a football field. A completely random sport for him to be at that moment in time, but can't find Beth, who is at the therapy session. I love that sin too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And the ultimate reasoning for that is so that Summer and Morty can have a ship to save the day later.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I like this episode more than Chris. But again, I and you know what it is? I think of the way this episode ends is the kind of thing that I like when this show does, where it actually attempts, despite its silliness, to be a little more meaningful and a little more deep. There's some depth towards the end of the show about Rick's relationship with his daughter, or daughters, I guess, in this case, that I like. I like when the show kind of wades into that stuff. And so I came away from it liking a little bit more. What about you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I think I'm kind of, maybe like about like Chris. I don't know. Maybe I liked it a little more. Um, I, I wasn't particularly, I don't know, I thought it was fine. I saw in the comments, especially, a lot of people seemed to really, really like this episode and thought it was a great, like, ending to a season, I guess, for a lot of people that's been kind of uneven. I didn't get that out of it, but I definitely laughed a lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah, at the very least, it's always funny.
And I got the feels lives. At the end. I thought they handled that pretty well. We actually got a few people asked why we didn't take a son off for that. It never came up. Like, neither one of us really wrote anything in that area.
Well, as Danae is famous for saying, we're not cinema remove the sins.
We're cinema sinners.
Danae, why don't you lead us into the video itself with any thoughts you may have on the episode as you picked up from, I'm just assuming everybody can take a drink. You didn't watch the full episode?
No.
So tell us a little bit about your thoughts as you watched the video.
It was funny because the very first sin is about how we forgot that her name wasn't Pam. And that was my mistake. I wrote her name as Beth's name as Pam in my script last week. And then it went through a combine process, wasn't caught. It got all the way through the first pass of our editing. Nobody saw it. And then all of a sudden I'm just going, like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, wait, who the fuck is Pam? And so we had to ask for a pickup pretty, like, last minute because I'm thank God I found it. Like, can you imagine if the video had gone out and we called her Pam?
Well, we've done it. We've certainly called characters the wrong name in a couple of our videos recently.
Well, even in this episode, I wrote that sin about, you know, he had impregnated a planet. It happens twice, and he actually didn't impregnate the planet. He fucked the planet.
Right.
What I should have wrote, but I wrote impregnate. But then once again, I mean, that went through a few different people. It's fine.
It had nothing to do with the actual actual sin. Like, it didn't change the sin at all, but it's just an incorrect way of saying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the Pam thing, like, that's major.
Yeah.
And so it's funny to me that the very first sin is about the show thinking that she's sort of this, like, throwaway name. And then we had the same thing happen. I love that little crossover. That was pretty fun for me. So, you know, I'm picking up the content of this episode as I'm watching the Sins video. And so I'm realizing this whole thing is about a clone. So I love pointing out this should have been called Clone Wars. I thought that was super clever. And then the sin about, did you miss Earth? I'm a clone. And then the question was, you know, do you miss Earth? And then, like, the person takes an opportunity to say, like, I'm a clone. And pointing out in the sinful way that you're getting plot information through a question that wasn't even related to that.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about how much that happens in what we watch, where somebody asks a question and the writers take an opportunity to sort of loopity loop their way to some sort of plot convenience or exposition of some kind that they, or a clue that they want you to know about. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing to maybe look out for in the future, more specifically. You know, so there's some sins that we sort of hone in on really easily. And that one's a little bit more mental gymnastics because there's a question and then it goes someplace. You have to stop and go, was that even related to the question that was asked? Mm-hmm. So I really liked that one. I thought it was a clever find. And then the Levi versus Wranglers for planet destroying collaborations was another one of my ones that I like chuckled at. I liked the whole thing. A lot of them were even the ones that Chris mentioned. I also really enjoyed too.
I just like doing silly stuff like that. Just like doing a throwaway line. Like, that feels more like a Levi thing and like not explaining. Yeah. I mean, cause there's nothing to it. Like, I mean, I'm not, you know, but it's just, I like when Chris lets me keep those in.
No, I had that marked as one of my favorites too. That really feels more like a Levi thing. I also like any time with this show where we're just like mentioning that the show justifies basically anything that happens in this universe. And in this case, it was the Rick probably did something where messes clean themselves up in some other dimension or something.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. I can't believe we have an irreversible mention in this episode. The show gives me irreversible flashbacks.
That was Chris.
So in Danae, in case this means nothing to you, if we decided to explain this to you, it would be another The Mist moment.
I've actually never seen the movie, so I don't. I know it's dark.
so that's putting it lightly. Yes,
I've kind of avoided it. That director, I've never wanted to venture into his filmography.
I also really enjoyed The Ghost of Alderaan is Pissed. That made me laugh so hard, and it's such a perfect way to get out of that sin. This is really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. What about you, Jonathan? Anything else you wanted to mention? From the Sins?
I just enjoyed. I wrote the thing about the. I enjoyed talking about the bullshit with the portal gun. I've never understood that portal gun, and I don't think it matters. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think the show cares. They're just going to have him use it whenever he needs to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that was just a moment where you could kind of call it out. And I love that we have a president that you can use his name as a verb. I'm using that a lot these days because it's just so right there for the taking.
Yeah.
And that's always fun.
I feel like future generations are going to think that's where the word came from. I feel like there's and I'm not even kidding.
If somebody says you're trying to Trump me on that,
I feel like they're going to believe that came from Donald Trump being president.
So funny.
100 years from now.
I know you very well. You might be completely right. That's just funny.
And then there's going to be someone like in the future that's like you, Aaron, who's going to have this lexicon
etymology of every word.
Yeah, etymology. Be like, well, actually, trumping used to mean like one upping or like being the top.
But now it's a negative connotation.
Now, when you're trumped, it means that you've been trolled or you're racist.
That's how I was saying I was a dick in college, which. Find out more about that on the bonus pod on Patreon.
That'd be our go-to statement. Anything else you wanted to mention, Jonathan?
No, that you guys mentioned all the other stuff. But it was fun. It was like, you know, we've already kind of talked about that, but it was fun. It's kind of sad and cool that it ended.
I'm kind of sad it's over. I kind of miss that rush every week of getting that script ready and everything. So
yeah, now I'm going to have to go back to cocaine.
And there is no commentary in a bonus pod about that. So if you want to learn more about his cocaine problem, write to us at the Patreon.
Write to us at whatisjonathanscocaineissue@cinemasins.com.
No!
If I really had a cocaine problem, you'd feel really bad right now.
Let's move on to The Simpsons. You Only Move Twice. Classics in Simpsons episode. So we did some more Simpsons. Some Simpsons.
We actually had many comments about how did we not do that. And did you see those comments?
Oh, I had put that in the description. Isn't that where those comments come from? In the comments, I had said Simpsons. Or in the description, I had said Simpsons. So
now we know I never read the description.
That's what I tweet. Don't. I tweeted out. I took that for the tweet, too. So
if we really want to tell people something, it should be in a pinned comment, not in the description. Because people don't often read those descriptions. But yeah. You Only Move Once. This was a Dicer Hughes script. Danae and I wrote on this one. This is the episode that is pretty much Albert Brooks voicing a Bond villain that Homer goes and works for, but of course doesn't realize he's working for a Bond villain because he's an idiot. And it is one of the most fun Simpsons episodes ever. I really love this episode.
I don't remember this episode because I didn't work on this one and I didn't watch it before I watched the video. And I was watching the video just trying to find something that would click. But like, I'm sure I saw it. I feel like I watched like the first like 10 seasons pretty much all the way through. But I just did not remember it. Albert Brooks obviously has been done various characters on the show, I believe.
This is he's so perfect in this. And he's so great. And part of the fun is how much he improvises and brings out of the other characters. And it's just a good time. Danae, what did you think? Because you're not like a Simpsons completist or anything. You've seen an episode here or there, I'm sure. But
sure, yeah. I've seen episodes, so I'm familiar with like the general vibe of each character. But it was really interesting to sin this one. I don't know enough about The Simpsons, but I found it really hard to believe that they would want to move back to Springfield after being in this new place. So I was like a little bit disappointed that it was such a weird, we want to go back home because we have allergies. And we send this in the episode. We have allergies and I'm not having fun in school. And that seemed weird to me, even though I haven't seen a lot of Simpsons. So I wasn't sure if maybe that was more realistic than I knew about. But
well, the weirdest one, and maybe it is true, but the weirdest one is March, right? Like, just like, my life's too easy. Can we please go back to where my life is harder?
Right. Like, oh, God forbid you can sit down and drink a glass of wine every day and have nothing to do. Yeah, it just seemed like a far stretch. But then, of course, there's a villain, and that's a far stretch as well. And this is a cartoon. We're supposed to have fun with it.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
I did. I had a lot of fun with it. I also had a lot of fun sinning it. And I had fun doing research on it. And I actually, you guys are finding this funny. So I was doing my outtake run on an upcoming script. And so oftentimes I'll watch, you know, crazy clips on YouTube trying to find something that matches up with the outtake that I'm looking for. And during one of these moments, there was this guy strapped to a table with a laser kind of going up the table, and he was wearing like a suit, and there was an evil guy, and they were kind of in this business thing. And I was like, oh, you know, the Bond reference that you just made. I had no idea that was a Bond reference.
That's one of my favorite Bond movies. It's Goldfinger.
No idea what it was. I've never seen Goldfinger. Like, I kind of got the vibe from watching The Simpsons. So I sort of knew what they were doing, of course, but I didn't understand how like much of an exact reference it was until I was like, wait a second, The Simpsons did that.
Well, I was going to say, you've probably seen many parodies of that too. Like Austin Powers, I know, did it. And
I just don't remember.
People.
Yeah, that's, I don't remember it.
Infamous moment.
So I kind of was like, yeah, duh, that was duh. But it was really, really fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. So,
Jonathan, why don't you kick us off with some of the stuff you enjoyed from the video?
The store has a babysitting in its scanner. I thought that was hilarious that you guys pointed that out, that was like the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have no grass, we have grass. I love stuff like that. I thought that was very funny.
That was a much, much longer sin, I'll tell you.
Oh,
much,
really?
much longer sin that got cut down to.
Oh, are we going to talk about that?
It's
are
fine.
We going to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, what's the segment that we have where we can do like comments or like cut stuff? Should I? we do something like that.
Yeah, it's coming up
on the show somewhere.
She doesn't know how to pit fart correctly. I thought it was very funny. I loved the narrator's obsession where the knife went. you guys kept coming back to that.
We both wrote almost identical sins about that missing knife. That was one of the funniest parts in the combine process, was the fact that we both noticed that knife was missing and both wrote like stories about it being used nefariously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good times.
Nice. And I just wanted to say I'd be pissed, too, if somebody told me I now own the Denver Broncos. Fuck the Broncos. So I felt for Homer when he said the Broncos.
What about you, Danae?
I liked so much about this one. I liked almost everything about this. Like, this one for me just had a lot of fun. It was fun to sin, and it was fun to read the script. So I'm just going to point out some comments that I really enjoyed. At Segway 99 said, not going to lie, I was really pulling for a that's racist sin when Bart is in the special class. And the one kid says, I moved here from Canada and they put me in here because they think I'm slow, eh? That's that comment. And the many, many others on YouTube blew my mind with how much people know this show and how much fun they were having with it. And then there's people who are like, nothing is wrong with it. It's fantastic. It's my favorite episode. It's perfect in every way. Followed by a thank you for sending this. This is my favorite episode. Just the reception of it and how people react to things being sent. Like, for us, it's an honor to send something, but some people get all.
Did you guys get any flack for the collection box? I didn't read.
No,
I don't. Oh, that's good.
I don't think so. I didn't see any.
Because that was a conversation I remember having. Mm-hmm.
I really liked the fart joke that helped Jeremy cheer up from depression enough so that he could remove a sin. That was a really fun one to see people comment on as mm-hmm. well. And that was actually so many people mentioned that one that they thought that it was just funny that's the sin off, or that was the moment that we choose to give back. And we did get some flack for not having anything in the sequence when there's the whole act like attacking and like the whole Bond moment where they're coming in to the secret lair and they're fighting mm-hmm. and everything. So everybody kind of pointing out that that's because that part was perfect and couldn't be sinned. So
we're not cinema remove a sin. So
that's right.
That's right.
We do, but we like to do it in a trolley way if we can, if it's possible for us to do that. But yeah, I could mention specific ones all day, so I'll just defer back to you.
Yeah, I had a fun time with this. I did a search for northern reticulated chipmunks and found out they didn't exist. But rather than sending them not existing, I send that they were extinct, which I thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then doing the research on Christopher Columbus popularizing the hammock, which was fascinating to me. It was invented by probably, again, I think we mentioned this in the Sin, that it's of some dispute, but native populations in North America seem to have invented it, but Christopher Columbus popularized it. So any chance to send Columbus, I enjoyed doing that. And yeah, you guys mentioned pretty much everything else I had, other than that's Frogist, which I wanted to mention, because not a lot of people know that frog is a term for French people. So yeah.
I didn't know that. I did want to mention, because I forgot, like, I really enjoyed researching the layout of the Simpsons house to prove that their fireplace wouldn't have fallen down in that direction.
Another one we both did. Yeah, another one we both researched. Yeah.
I did a lot of research on this one. I think, you know, we both did. I did another one about the whole URL thing, like, because I didn't understand the joke when it got to the part on the episode as to why that was a thing, because when it was written, when the Simpsons episode came out, it was a ridiculous idea to think that a school would have a website, because websites just
right,
not everybody had one, so it was a ridiculous joke because everyone's like, yeah, right, like who would have a website? But now it's so every school has a website, so yep. It's one of those where the joke didn't like keep going, you know, yeah. Didn't keep going,
it aged out.
It shifted over time, so that was really fun to research. And then I have another one that I researched that I'll talk about in Keeping Tabs.
And on that note, we'll move on to Music Video Sins.
Can we move on to Music Video Sins?
Let's it. Harry Styles, Watermelon Sugar. Let's see. This is a song.
Watermelon Sugar.
Song about cunnilingus. So fun times. Let's talk about it. Let's let Barrett start on this since he wrote it.
Watermelon Sugar is a bad song.
Is that no? Okay.
No.
About some weird things today. Go ahead.
Barrett said, "Watermelon Sugar is a bad song. I have to admit, but there's just something so endearing about Harry Styles that he makes it work." Very similar to Justin Timberlake. The only thing that really bugged me about this video was how he was eating the watermelon slices. Given that this is a blatant allusion to cunnilingus, the voracious ways he tears into the fruit should be horrifying to any potential partners. By the way, I looked up a lot of synonyms for oral sex on a vulva. Edifying stuff. Anyway, looks like everyone had fun on the set, and the song's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
Feels like we needed to get Barrett on the show this week for Keeping Tabs and have him list off some euphemisms for oral sex. Is watermelon sugar, that's not like a common euphemism. That's just something.
Not that I'm aware of. I didn't know what a massage parlor was, so whatever.
I think
got to cancel that appointment, by the way, when I get off.
Yeah. I think when you get off,
God damn it. Ba-dum-boom. God damn it.
I actually kind of like this song, like the melody of it. I found it catchy. I enjoyed the chorus.
We're going to play a game. Danae and I are going to take bets on whether or not you like or dislike a song. I will be wrong every week.
Well, I mean, sure, the subject matter is raunchy, but I mean, or
oh no, it's not that. I don't know, just based on what you said about, like, even like last week's song, I just thought you'd be like, it's a little too simplistic.
Yeah
I can't do an Aaron impression, I'm sorry.
No, please keep trying. What did you guys think about the song? Because it sounds like
I was confused, because I had read some of what Barrett was saying in, like, behind the scenes, like in our chat rooms, and our chat channels, about like his research, saying like, well, I just did this. And so I was like, oh, okay, what's this video going to be about? And then I watched the video, and yeah, it was uncomfortable for me as a woman. I imagine it would kind
of
be
teeth.
Like
there's a lot of
there's
teeth.
A lot there's so much teeth, and I imagine it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe like if you see somebody get racked in a movie, and that you sort of have that phantom reaction in your own body where you feel the pain yourself in a way. I don't know if that's ever happened
rack,
to you guys.
Like kicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've been kicked in the balls. And so you see it happen in a movie, you're like, ooh. So yeah, I just had a lot of uncomfortable memories.
So you're saying. No, never mind.
Anyway.
I thought this song was terrible.
Did you?
Yes,
well, I did. I did
it was
some
terrible.
I did some looking because I was like, why is it? You know, why watermelon? And there was something that said that like the emoji doubles, kind of like how the eggplant emoji doubles as a penis. The watermelon emoji doubles as a reference to sexual activity.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Of course, I didn't. That's what I read on the interwebs, and they never lie on the interwebs. So.
No.
We have to believe it.
Nope.
I thought it was just like, a reference to how you eat slices of watermelon.
I did like watermelon sugar slang, and there was just like a little pop-up that just said the emoji can double as a reference to sexual activity.
I'm not saying bite.
I wrote this down. Or a quote-unquote crude appreciation for a woman's curves. And I'm like, a watermelon doesn't have curves. It's just
That's about the idea of like melons. That's what that's talking about.
Okay.
Quote unquote melons.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm not saying there can't be like some playful biting involved, but like I would imagine that would be a little weird once you know what it's about, Danae. Like you're sitting there just like, oh my God, like no, don't do that.
If I had watched this video and even the Sins video without having any idea about Barrett's research or what's going on, I probably would have made it all the way through until he starts being like, this is a reference to cunnilingus, and I'd be like, whatever, it's not. And but because I went in knowing everything, was just like, all right, this is weird.
Same.
I don't know if I have like much to add to it. I do have like some favorite sins that I wrote down, but that's my general thoughts. So.
Yeah, maybe it means that, you know, I've been doing it wrong my whole life. I don't know.
No. Don't do that. Don't do what you saw in this.
I can assure you, I would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Watched an instructional video from Harry Styles.
Tell me how this feels. And I don't even like watermelon. So, like actual watermelon.
Yeah, you and DJ Khaled both don't like watermelon.
No.
All right, let's move into the sins themselves. Danae, you had mentioned.
Aaron's trying to make me sound like a horrible person.
No, I'm really not. Danae, you had mentioned you had some sins you wanted to talk about, so why don't you start?
I really like the spreading God knows what in addition to the really bad stuff. And just the cleverness of that. Anytime BTS is mentioned, I'm like, oh, it's our podcast. So there's a sin in here about BTS, and I was like, oh, it's our podcast, and it's not
freaking
band.
No, we're kind of like, for now, we're like third on the list of what BTS usually stands for. Like, it's
what's
first
second?
The second is behind the scenes. Like, right, people use hashtag BTS on anything that's behind the scenes. And it's yeah. And then there's us. So,
And there's us. And then, let's see, whichever ones. We already talked about the techniques that are going on. he did this series of, yay, we're young and attractive and horny and we know Harry Styles. Like, just his whole delivery of that sin. I laughed genuinely on that one. But the one that I had to actually pause and just be like, good God, was so by now we know the song is about cunnilingus. So ladies, as hot as he is, do you want to look down and see this face when it's happening? It's just like, I had to pause and be like, oh Lord. And then I had to ask myself, would I?
Thank you, Barrett. I am now pondering this deep conversation, this deep thought about the world.
Do I want Harry Styles down there?
And, right.
Do I want him giving me that look?
You know,
right.
Funny enough, Harry Styles is something that happens down there. So
it's a choice.
What about you, Jonathan? What sins
the only one that Danae didn't mention? I don't think I heard you say this one was the where it was all the women and he was just like, is he supposed to do this to all of them? And my favorite part about that was he's like, because he needs to get it started because he's losing light.
He's gonna run out of daylight.
He's running out of daylight, and then he said something about his jaw was gonna get sore, and that I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it is very funny.
He's like his jaw is gonna hurt. Like, oh my God.
I lost it when he said go jump the hilly brush. That made me really laugh. South Park reference. Mm-hmm. And then this one just slayed me for whatever reason, but the idea that there would be a more updated reference about watermelon smashing than Gallagher just killed me because it's kind of this 1-2 punch of, yeah, that's an outdated reference. But then the second part that's really funny is, yeah, but what's the more modern reference? Nobody else is out there smashing watermelons. Like, that is the reference. There is no other reference. Come on. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. Made me laugh quite a bit. Let's move on to CinemaSins. We'll kick it off with the long-awaited Back to the Future 3. People have been wondering, why have you
Chris
done 1 and 2?
Chris actually announced this on a Patreon
he did.
Thing, remember?
I do.
So, gotta be on Patreon.
Let's
talking about Patreon every 2 minutes.
Feel free. Feel free. It's a good place.
And learn about massages.
CinemaSins members are the best. Atkinson Watkins script. So Chris and Jonathan did write on this one. And I'm curious, Danae, what's your experience with Back to the Future, the movies?
I don't remember a lot. I think I've watched them all. And I think I remember certain things, like the train, you know, needing to, like, the train going over the cliff. I'm like, oh, I remember that. And the Wild West. I think I remember part of that.
Good. So things you can pick up from the DVD
time
cover.
Travel.
Got it.
There was a hoverboard. So that was cool.
It was heavy.
There was a close up of some shoes.
Uh-huh.
So that was also cool.
No, fuck that hoverboard, man. Robert Zemeckis ruined a lot of kids' dreams.
That's so true.
Oh my god, trying to make us believe that was real.
Yeah,
but there's video.
But I don't have a fan love of these movies, but I know that is a really fun movie series that was just.
It was a little
unique.
Bit before you, right?
Yeah.
You would have been
young
when those come out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're. Years old.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Too many hints.
No, it's your favorite thing to do is try to give hints. I know what you're doing. I remember it being such a big deal. I remember, like, there being merchandise and, you know, like, the DeLorean was such a big deal and it being kind of a fun sci-fi kid, like, you could watch it with your family sort of a vibe. And so I can see why it would be a lot of fun. And then it's fun to see the over-the-top mad scientist vibe.
Did the Michael J. Fox thing miss you? Like, was he like a, you know, a big...
A heartthrob?
Yeah, like a heartthrob for you growing up or anything?
Did you have posters of him on your wall?
No. No, my heartthrob was from watching... an old video of Freddie Mercury singing from Queen. So, and I wasn't born when I was obviously way. So, like, that was my
possibly.
Was my
crush. Who knows? Who knows how old you are, really?
Oh my God! Yeah, I could be a vampire and be like ageless.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Sorry, that's not the sound I want to make ever again.
Jonathan, what's your experience with the Back to the Future movies?
Oh, no, I mean, I grew up watching them. I saw all of them in the theater and maybe even a few times. And I'm just watched them on cable constantly growing up. I don't know that I'm as big of a fan as Chris. I mean, Back to the Future is his...
That's one of his things, right? Like, he loves them.
I think that's, like, his favorite movie. Like, that's kind of his go-to favorite movie answer.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I remember.
I know, like, he'll say sometimes, like, he'll say Godfather or something sometimes. But, yeah, that's typically been his go-to. But I will say this, like, I thought it was interesting that, you know, Chris, well, actually, you'll read what Chris has to say, so maybe I'll comment on that later. I prefer 2, but I did enjoy this viewing of 3 because it had really been a long time since I'd seen this one, and I kind of had memories of it being fun but not much else. And I guess that's the case, but I had a lot of fun rewatching it. It was a really fun movie to kind of go back to and enjoy again, and then get to Senate and just, you know, be a part of that aspect, because obviously I didn't do anything with the first 2. Those were before I got on the CinemaSins writing team. So it was a blast to work on. I had a lot of fun with it. I also realized, like, just how much I love that era of Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. That's why I mentioned it.
I was a huge Family Ties fan.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. That is the key element of my nostalgia for it, is Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. I love that man so much. And it's just really fun to go back and watch those movies because of his performance in them. I'm partial to the first, as most people are. I think it's the most complete film.
Absolutely.
I think, honestly, I see the other 2 as almost one movie. And it's weird because they're very different stories, but
I know they were filmed back to back though.
Right, and they came out.
There was a to be continued after the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of see them as the same. They're both really fun, but just kind of silly and don't mean as much to me as the first one, but yeah.
Yeah, but as far as sequels go, I think they're pretty stellar as far as, you know, sequels go, especially from that time period where sequels were more money grabs than any, I guess,
yeah.
Would be the best way to put it.
I think if I was pushed, I would say I like two better, but it's probably just because there's more fun meta time travel-ness kind of stuff in two that appeals to that side of me. But
yeah, me too. That's exactly why I enjoy it.
But I like them both. So what did Chris have to say today?
Chris said BTTF3, which is not BFG. It's different.
Or BTS, any of the versions.
Mm-hmm. God, now we're fifth.
Damn it. Back to the Future 3 used to be known as the quote-unquote better sequel to Back to the Future 2. Wait, what? Okay. I think that's changed over the years, and it's apparent now 30 years later that 2 is the better one. The dumbest thing for me is in this movie, is how Doc claims he needs to be anonymous and not change the future, but he sets up a blacksmith shop dead in the dead center of Hill Valley and is active in the community. His decision to help Clara find her house would have immediately changed history, but he forgets to help her on that day, but just so happens to be in the right place at the right time to save her, which changes history anyway. Apparently, the story of an unknown teacher dying in a ravine stayed with Hill Valley residents for over a century.
Yeah, he was really stuck on that. I remember that in the scripting phase. Like, that was something there might have even been a couple of sins about it.
Yeah, I think there's like a sin about like that the valley is named something before she was even dead or maybe was mentioned there. Anyway, he goes on to say that weird ending where Doc's flying time travel train shows up on the tracks right by Marty and Jennifer, who just happened to be at that location in 1985, is baffling on so many levels. I have more questions about the ending of BTTF3 than most movies I have ever seen.
Very nice.
And then he does not list all the questions. I just want to let you guys know we're not going to go into a list of questions.
Good. Let's go into a list of things we liked about the video. I'll start off on this one. I really laughed when Sins video said, "Don't be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 movie." That just made me laugh because they were rushing to go back in time. It's like, why are you rushing? You're going back to the same date. That's one of the weirdest thing with time travel movies is they add this intensity that doesn't have to exist. The cave of convenience. And then there's another of convenience sin in the next one we're going to talk about too. But I love that. I think that's a really fun way to do that sin. The whole story about the spittoon and not throwing up and then telling this movie theater story, that really made me laugh. Primarily because they mentioned the movie 8 Seconds, which is just the perfect movie to mention when you're talking about spit. Gasoline versus plutonium was a really interesting conversation to me. The idea that all of a sudden this thing runs on gas when that has not been the context in the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
The man talking loudly about it on the train, nothing is more terrible than a man's broken heart. just such a fun way to say that. That's the power of love, man. Huey Lewis would be proud.
Yeah. I had that one down too.
And then just the realization of like Einstein is already in the train. The dog is already in the train, but they're just coming to this place like to get Einstein. But Einstein's already in the train. That's such a stupid mistake, but it's so...
We had some back and forth on that. That confounded me more than it probably should have. Once Chris went the direction you're talking about, it made more sense to me. But I was so just... I could not like wrap my head around trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I wrote something, but it just didn't work.
Yeah. It's a lot of great stuff in this. I'm really glad we finally got around to sending it.
And I hadn't seen the first two in a while. The way they explain time travel in those, like I had kind of forgotten about the idea that like time stops basically once they travel, which is weird.
Yeah.
So I had a few things involving that. I think that's partly where this whole Einstein thing at the end confused me. And then Chris was like, no, in the first one, you know, they make it pretty clear that like nothing moves forward until they're done doing whatever they're doing, which is kind of silly, but that's the way they tell it. So that was, you know, that was what we had to work with, I guess. So
what about you, Danae? What are some other ones you liked?
Well, first I wanted to mention, because there was a run kind of towards the end about like what happens when someone removes themselves from time period to go to another, mm-hmm. and then it sort of like compresses everything sort of down. And that's really hard to do, oftentimes, to take a big concept and then like create a sin that goes on for like a paragraph, but still manages to keep your attention. And I thought that it was written really well, you know, that yeah. The only Marty that it could be is the one that experienced both Back to the Future 2 and Back to the Future 3. And then it's just like, I mean, it confused the fuck out of me, but I'm like, yeah, get him.
I'm going to be honest. The time to those sins are Chris. Like, I mean, I feel like that's Chris. Chris can write a long sin, like, I think better than any of us, in my
right.
opinion.
I'm going to be honest. I was watching that. And after the first sentence, my brain was like, this sin is about time travel, be crazy, and you don't have to listen to the rest of it. Yeah. My brain just shut off for the rest of it. I was like, yeah, time travel movies don't make sense.
That was because he asked me, he's like, because he made a note. He was like, read this one like closely. Like, not that I don't read the other ones, but he was like, I just want you to make sure you're on the same page with me.
Right.
Like, I got confused. Like, I was right. like, oh my God, where did I never thought about this. And
yeah. We got a tweet about it. At TTrain85 said, I just wanted to commend whoever wrote the run about the future Marty in part two having to have been in the future Marty from the end of the third, because otherwise he was transplanted out of the timeline at the end of part one. It was simultaneously hilarious, brilliant, and confusing.
Yep. Already lost again. Those are sins I just go to, okay, well, Chris is smarter than me. Let's move on.
He's writing that. I'm writing like, look, Marty's headrest disappeared.
Yeah.
Which is true. It's valid.
Which is true. I know. Valid. But... Yeah.
Don't take my headrest sin away. I love the headrest sin.
The first thing that I wrote down that I was like, is Marty is going to outrun a bear here, and somebody didn't do their research.
So I had like, that one written down. That's
a smart one. Like,
that was
so
gross.
All the pointing out of the discrepancies, I really, really enjoyed. Marty going to the Prometheus School of running away from things, which is disappointing considering how many times he's changed directions and the last two times this happened. So surely he doesn't need a skateboard for every escape. I thought that was kind of clever, and I like that. Let's see. There was one more I think that I wrote down. Oh, that was accents. Have I made a comment about this awful Scottish accent yet? Wait, they're supposed to be Irish? That's even worse. Like,
you know, it's funny because I just love the Irish and Scottish accents so much that even if they're horrible, I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
I know, right?
It's just like, I'm listening to it. I'm going, what a great act. She's doing great. And then Chris is like, that's awful. I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe that's awful, but I loved it.
But it was so great. Oh, and then nothing makes your panties drop quicker than a few well-timed Jules Verne quotes. So
it's truth.
That was me.
It's truth. Yeah. It's just truth.
I just enjoyed the, we got to mess around with the, one thing about this movie I think that's kind of lacking is that it's another riff on the whole, there's a Biff relative.
Yeah.
And there's a McFly relative. Like, they could have had like a new villain, you know, mm-hmm. like they could have had like a new person in that role, mm-hmm. like, you know, brought in like Ed Harris or something. I don't know. But not that I dislike the actor that plays Biff, but I don't know, that all started feeling really repetitive. And then like at the end, Chris wrote the stuff about, you know, that whole riff about like, you know, this is similar to Marty taking a stand in the first movie, and then another Biff falls into manure, and it was just, you know, all that stuff was just fun.
My favorite sin that emphasized that was the one where it comes right after they switch their catchphrases. And Marty says, great Scott, and Doc says, heavy, yeah. or whatever. And I think the sin is just another, you know, quote from the movies. That was really well done.
I also like Chris pointing out that they put a new scream in for Doc for some reason.
Yeah.
And he said it sounded like ear scabies.
Yeah.
Ear scabies.
And then I love the part where Marty's talking about how, like, something him and future Doc did on the time machine. And then Chris wrote, what's this wee shit anyway? Because clearly Marty had nothing to do with the invention of the time machine.
Right.
And then, yeah, and I also had that bear thing. That made me, I was dying when I was reading the script when it came up on that part. And then the only other thing I had was they changed history to the point that the cemetery isn't in business anymore. because there were no grave sites. They were all gone.
Yep. Yep. That's the It's a Wonderful Life corollary. The entire cemetery turns into something else. All right, let's move on to Serenity. This was a Scott Watkins joint. So once again, Jonathan writing on everything.
Jonathan, what?
Yes, and I did
world?
Write both of the of convenience sins, and then probably because I wrote these like back to back, so there were just two situations where that popped in my head.
Well, I'll just mention it now too, because it's kind of on brand with the two of convenience. But there's also the Atmo is Obno.
Yes, which technically this was the first one.
Right. Right. Yeah. I remember us talking about that. So yeah, when that popped up, one. I was like. It is such a great sin. You know what I did? My brain did, shouldn't it be Obna? Because it's obnoxious. But actually, atmosphere is also that way, right? Like calling it should be Atma.
Why don't you go
Atma.
Comment about that on YouTube?
Let's talk about the movie itself. First, let's hear what Jeremy had to say. Today, what did Jeremy have to say about Serenity?
He said, good movie. Not as great as I want it to be. But a fine approximation of the show. Recently caught a marathon of the show after writing The Sins. The show is so good. So much potential for long-term stuff. The movie's big failing is that it very much a condensed rehashing of the show's only season. So fans of the show don't quite get enough new stuff, and new viewers are given so much information it's daunting, especially the triple fake out openings. Though there is a nice one shot or two in the film.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
I don't know how to say his name,
actually. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes.
Chiwetel?
Mm-hmm. Chiwetel.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Chiwetel. Chiwetel
yes,
is...
Four, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel?
It's one of those two, yeah. Or a combination of them.
There's no way to know how to pronounce this guy's name, and I'm just going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to say Chiwetel.
Okay.
Chiwetel
is pretty good. It's pretty good as the villain in another universe. Angel got canceled after one season and Firefly got five seasons. And I want to live in that world. I also think that if Firefly existed today and got canceled, the fans would make use of social media and get it picked up somewhere else. I absolutely hate how this movie ends with some cheap, generic storms getting worse. We'll make it through dialogue. That's the end. Good night.
I remember very similar feelings when I saw this of, man, this is great. I'm glad this exists. And also, man, I'm sad that it ends this way. You know, like, it's one of those movies where I don't know. There's almost a sadness to it. As much as I love Firefly and as much as I think the movie is great, it's just there's a weird bittersweetness to it that's hard to put into words, I think.
This was a really fun movie to watch. I saw it opening night, and most people that were in there were fans of the show. That's one of my most memorable theatrical experiences. Just everybody, like, because everybody laughing at the same moments, you know, like the character moments and the stuff that we liked about the show. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I've seen this movie so many times, but I think it has more to do with I love the characters. I enjoy spending time with them more than I think it's like a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a good movie.
You're a Firefly fan, Danae, right?
Yeah, somebody recommended it. Maybe it was you. I don't remember who recommended it to me. So then I binged it. So I wasn't watching it whenever it was coming out. So it was already canceled by the time I got around to it.
Nobody was. That's why it was canceled.
I think there's some people that will say, like, I was an original fan, you know. But, and I think Jeremy's point is true. If Firefly were to happen today, the social media support would absolutely be giving people who produce these kinds of shows the confidence to pick it up and continue to put money into it. But I remember when I watched it, I was so intrigued and I was so excited and I wanted to see where it was going to go. Not even like the characters, will they, won't they stuff, but more like just the mystery of the world and the merging of, you know, sci-fi, space travel with Western. That was something that I don't think I had seen so on the nose before. Like maybe there's been another type of a Westernish feel and I just didn't catch it. Certainly episodes of Star Trek. My mom always loved to play Star Trek. That was kind of like one of the safe things that was always on the TV. And I'm sure there's episodes of that where they did kind of a Western-like thing.
Yeah.
But that's a different show. So as far as like spaceships in space, that was my only real kind of like growing up reference that I had. And so for me, Firefly was, it's like a disappointing web comic that's really, really good. You love the characters, you love the writing, but it's too expensive for the artist to continue. And so they have to stop before it really ties up. And then I did watch the movie hoping that I had that let's tie this up feel. And I was pretty bummed by the movie. Like, mm-hmm. because I had just binged the whole show, I didn't need to see most of the stuff that was in the movie. It didn't really do a lot for me except for kill someone I liked. And that was
welcome to the world of Joss Whedon.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just a disappointing experience, and it's fine, but it was a disappointing experience. I wanted something that was, yeah. you know, gonna be something like, oh, that was really satisfying because this show should have gone on instead yeah. of, you know, what it was. And I thought, and we'll talk about this in the Sin stuff, but I thought Jeremy or whomever wrote it did a really good job of pointing out how the title of this is even confusing, and it just didn't feel like it was what I wanted it to be. Well, so
yeah, and I wrote the title Sin, and we got crap for that because the reasoning, and I actually knew this, the reasoning was because of the ownership of the title was a different company than was making the movie, so I guess they just didn't want to have to pay anything for it, so they just retitled right. it Serenity. But that doesn't make it any less of a sin in my opinion.
Sure. I think it yeah. still stands. I yeah, mean, it's it still is valid. I think I can't remember how it was worded. Maybe you can remember, Jeremy, but it was like, it would be like if a movie was called Mission Impossible, but it was called something else.
IMF.
Yeah. And I thought that was a really good comparison.
Oh, yeah. And then the Star Trek, I said if Star Trek was called Enterprise, and then of course the people were like, well, there is a show called Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We know those things. Yeah.
But yes, once again, if I'm going to nitpick, you can nitpick me. I don't care.
We also had some general comments from Twitter, because I kind of asked people about their general ideas. If you want me to just read those real quick before we jump into the sin,
throw it in.
Paul, let's see, @Polly_Walnuts says, the Serenity video didn't add anything I didn't already see flawed in the movie. I feel it was a great movie to begin with. It felt more like a video showing us the flaws we already knew were there, but didn't want to talk about it. And we should have had more of the show instead. So kind of like repeating what we said in a way. And then I love this one from @Roughshot says, I applaud your courage in sending Serenity right after Avatar. I can't think of two more rabidly loved shows in existence. Also, more Avatar, please. So, I loved that.
Well, and if you like us doing the show, you could go back. We did the pilot of Firefly. That was one of our earliest.
Yeah, that was one of our first ones.
@Jagged2319 says, with Serenity being sinned, does this mean Firefly can have a run? So you can go back and watch that pilot. And then he or she says, I mean, there are only like 12 episodes total. I'm sad now.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. Yeah. It was a really fun show. I really enjoyed the show, and I really enjoyed the movie because I enjoyed the show so much.
Yeah. Dude, you got to watch the show like you did, though, because one of the other problems with it was Fox aired a lot of episodes out of order.
Out of order. Yeah. I read about that. Because, yeah, it was Aaron, I'm pretty sure you're the one that told me to watch this, because I remember talking about it with you about why it got canceled, because I was so confused. And you explained that it was aired out of order, which is just crazy.
Yeah, they totally didn't get the show. They aired it weirdly and out of order. And yeah, yep, that's what happened. All right, you ready to move on to the sins themselves?
Let's do it.
Jonathan, what do you got?
Did you guys not want to go since I worked on it?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You wrote on this one. We should go first. I can go first. That's fine. Purple.
Do it, Aaron.
Purple, guys. Keep purpling. That was one of the funniest things I've ever read and seen. Wanted granola, and Matthew McConaughey showed up unexpectedly. That was amazing. Immediately translating something in English after you say
after having a panic attack?
Anxiety. I love that. And then Wash's death with the "they all survive this," and then showing him get killed and being like, "Oh, I mean, that's just like horrible and awful and amazing at the same time." It's such a perfect way to do that. And then yes, the other incidents of convenience. I think this time, best friend of convenience was really great. So yeah, I loved a lot about this.
Yeah, Wash's death though. I do. That was weird. I had written like a. I think at one point I wrote a sin removal, and then it was like, I don't know. Eventually I got to that place where I was like, oh, we can do this riff on They All Survived This, because I knew fans would want us to tackle that somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be in there
that's
somehow.
That's such a big scene. And I don't know that I really like that death, because I like that Joss is not afraid to kill off his main characters, but I just don't feel like that death signified anything, right? I mean, it doesn't really...
I mean, it's certainly more realistic. You know, death is
maybe,
more like
yeah,
that in the real world.
Why.
You know?
Yeah.
Comes
the
out of nowhere.
The real world where we're flying in spaceships and fighting Reavers.
It's not satisfying, that's for sure.
No. I liked the, why are they wasting bullets? There's a 0% chance of the Reaver ship with a pistol. I like that one. Pointing out all of the candles and all of the...
Gotta point out the candles.
Gotta point out the candles. But also the curtains. There was many, many of them.
Wasn't the punchline in that, like, the religion, like, this
worships
religion
house
worships
fires.
House fires? That's so great.
So funny. The whole noble as a grape thing, just kind of taking that and being like, why not? I think it's as honorable as a pigeon or honest as a rock, because it just was silliness.
Mm-hmm.
The advertisement, soon to be released Serenity trading cards moment, where you have a yeah. river kind of like floating in this sort of cool moment. I like that.
Yeah.
And then the pointing out that when people reminisce on Serenity, they never seem to talk about the plot point where Kaylee has to skin her former friend's bodies and attach him to the ship.
That was something I had never thought of until I was working on, when I was writing this script. I'm like, that is dark. Like,
yeah, I never thought about that either. Right. I just, and like, yeah, that's exactly what had to happen. It was sort of nuts.
No, yeah, she had to like take the corpses and like skin them. I mean, I don't know. And then we mentioned it again when, you know, he's like,
yeah,
this will be our darkest hour.
Like yeah,
what
you
about
flash
when
back
you
to
skin?
It. Or is this? Yeah, that was super crazy. I loved that. The main character taking off helmet without enough data to find out why there is breathable air. And did anyone also forget Inara was still with them? Just me? Carry on. And I think that was basically, oh, no, at the very end, it was the, when they hook up and then it's like, aw, ew, because her head kind of comes down. This is just such a funny use of the, aw, ew, perfect. So I really
and
had
I'm
a good
sure
time.
There are people that love the relationship of those two, or the will they or won't they. I just found in this movie, it didn't really need to be there.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
The noble is a grape thing is a reference to a variety of grape. Noble grapes are variety that is really important for wine.
We can get on to Jeremy about that because he wrote that one.
No. Sin's still great.
I'm kidding.
Get on to him about it.
But that is...
You guys mentioned like everything I had, but I will say the Jeremy wrote this one sin that, like, when I read it in the script, I was like, oh, that's funny. But then when I saw it in the video, it was just hilarious. And it was I think the dreams were the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
There's just this sin. I thought that was great. No, this was a really fun one to work on.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Very good stuff.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... okay. We're going to try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
Let's do it. Let's move on to the next segment, Keeping Tabs.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to tell a story from putting together the week's content. Maybe a Google search, some strange research, what forms of grapes that we know, whatever the case may be. Let's start with Danae. What do you got?
Oh, I searched Papayin. I had to know what that shit was from The Simpsons. He has this moment where the, I can't remember his name in the show all of a sudden.
Albert Brooks?
Homer?
The bad guy. Oh. In the Simpsons episode, he shows up at Homer's door, welcoming him to the neighborhood, and he talks about papayin and how it's really good and helps you to be strong. And something told me that wasn't correct. And so I went and I looked it up, which I love how you pronounce papayin. That's kind of cool. But it comes from the papaya plant, which apparently is freaking amazing fruit. Reminds me I need to eat more papaya. Papain comes from the papaya, and it when you ingest it, it helps to tenderize, like it helps your digestion, it helps you poop. Well, that's like one of the things it does. It helps you poop. It's been linked to help with IBS issues. So I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
That's interesting. So it helps you poop, but also helps you not.
It helps to make sure that you're not having the same. It does a ton of stuff. Like if you Google papain, like it's like a magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you're just kidding. And it's also like tenderizes meat. So it's used in like meat tenderizing products because it helps to kind of break stuff down. Anyway, it's really fascinating, and I find like there's magic in our food, people, and sometimes fruits can just blow your mind. It's like when the acai berry was blowing everyone's mind, but it's really the papaya now.
It's also, people don't know, but papain sugar is a euphemism for fellatio. Some people don't. Don't understand that.
When she said papaya, oh, did she research the Harry Styles video?
The article that I found is on healthline.com. And these are like, you know, it's like, what is papain? And it has a description and then has like all these bullet points. It's been known to help ease sore throats, reduce pain and inflammation, aid in digestion, help to heal wounds and ease muscle soreness, relieve the shingles symptoms. So obviously they've taken the papaya and they've done, you know, like there's powders that you can get that you can take papain just by kind of itself or in like supplements. And then if you go overboard or you have reaction, there's also side effects that include throat irritation and damage, which goes against what we, esophageal perforation, stomach irritation, and allergic reactions in general. So, you know, as with everything, don't go crazy on fruit just because it's fruit. Do your research. Listen to your body.
I'll never forget the first time I ate too much pineapple and realized it had burned the inside of my mouth because it's so acidic.
Yeah.
And my mouth was not the same for like 3 days. And I was like, yeah. I just ate a bunch of pineapple. Like, what's the deal here?
Yeah. Excess is dangerous. But I do want to say, as somebody who suffers from IBS, I really have been considering, I've been doing my research on a couple of papaya products that are sold, and I've been reading reviews from people and just kind of how to take it, since it's obviously like not a drug that you can go to your doctor for. So I may actually try one, and if it works, I'll let you know, because the number one reason you come to the show is to learn about my IBS and whether or not I'm doing well.
I was going
to
say, you and me and all our different intestinal issues and stuff, we'd be fun roommates.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be like, no one come to our place.
So much pooping.
Jonathan, what poop-related research did you do this week?
Well, I researched cunnilingus. And, no, I did not. there's a sin in Back... The only thing I could think of to talk about was there's a sin in Back to the Future Part 3 where there's a marquee listing of this movie, The Atomic Kid. So I went through this. So I was like, why would that be playing there, you know, in like this one theater town and everything? And so I went and I researched the movies that would have been out in 1955 and discovered that, like, that's a year I've oddly seen, like, just randomly a ton of movies from. And it's like, what is that funny?
That is a random year to have seen a bunch of movies from.
Well, it is really, for someone who wasn't alive at the time. I mean, Danae was, but I wasn't. Because she's bold.
Old.
No, but there's just all these movies that I really like from that year. Of course, Marty won Best Picture that year, which is, if you haven't seen Marty, you might have seen Quiz Show. That ends up being the answer there. What were the other big ones? A Night of the Hunter, the Robert Mitchum film, came out that year. Alfred Hitchcock had To Catch a Thief and The Trouble with Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Day at Black Rock, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Really good Bogart thriller, The Desperate Hours. Les Diaboliques, which is one of the greatest thrillers of all time. East of Eden, a really cool Frank Sinatra drama called The Man with the Golden Arm. Lady Killers, which the Coen brothers remade eventually. Kiss Me Deadly, which is a great noir. It Came from Beneath the Sea, Lady and the Tramp.
So
Oklahoma.
Much.
Rafifi, which is probably the all-time greatest heist movie. The 7 Year Itch is another one a lot of people like. I don't, but a lot of people do like that one because it's Billy Wilder and Marilyn Monroe. But yeah, no, I just thought it was cool. I was like, that's just not a year I've ever really had in my conscience as being like one of the top years. But then I started looking through it. I'm like, holy shit, there's a lot of great movies that came out this year.
Looks like there are a couple Martin and Lewis movies too. You always got to throw those in. Very nice. For me, I wrote on The Simpsons. So we talked about Maggie on the Scanner a little bit, but when I did the research, there's some obvious stuff that's, you know, been talked about with The Simpsons and different things. And the idea of the $847.63 is the monthly
cost
of raising a child at the time that they did the research, which I thought was really interesting. But it just, we had it in the script originally, I think. And then
I did a sin about it, but you cut it. You cut everything.
No, it's
I'm sorry.
It was in my script.
I'm fine. It's fine.
Wasn't it?
I'm okay.
You're not okay. You're hurting, Danae. Do we need some attention? Do we need a therapist? Do we need some podcast counseling?
We will in a minute, because I'm going to talk about that sin you cut, and then we're going to have a chat.
Why?
It was the sin angle that I wrote for The Scanner was something about like the cost of children and what it would be today and like comparison or something like that. But the one that you wrote was like, why is this kid even able to be scanned? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The thing I really wanted to mention, though, was the thing in the comments where people are like, no, when it scans, it says NRA forever. And it's like, okay, that was a one-time joke from the 138th Simpsons Spectacular that Matt Groening threw in just for lols. And now people are like, you know, messaging it like he's a big NRA nut, which if you know anything about Matt Groening, you know isn't true. Like, that's not necessarily the side of the spectrum that he lands on. So
I don't think he likes anything. So.
So it's one of those kind of urban legend things that is actually true. It was there one episode, but is also not true because it was a joke. So,
well, and they even did that episode where Homer buys a gun. I mean, if anybody saw that episode, I don't think they would believe.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah. I
right.
mean,
anyhow. I just love the attention to detail that the Simpsons put in those little things. That just for a split second, they actually had the monthly cost of raising a child at the time that popped up there.
Simpsons is great. When did you quit watching The Simpsons? Or are you still watching it occasionally?
I watch every episode.
Oh, you still do?
Yeah, I still watch every episode the week it airs. Yep.
I keep thinking about jumping on that, like on Disney Plus, but it's probably going to be a minute. I got other stuff I got to watch.
It goes through waves. This season was surprisingly good. It was a really good season. Look, I mean, mediocre Simpsons is great television. So
yeah, no,
I just keep watching
I'm
it.
Sure. I don't think I ever watched it on the regular. I mostly caught it when it started rerunning, like locally. You know, we'd watch it in college and stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Maybe we were high. Not important.
So when should I talk about the cut sin? Because I really just want to at least give it something. I want it to live somewhere, and it's got to live here on the show.
Well, I would think this would be the segment, right?
Okay.
But you talked about something else, so you lost your chance. I mean,
yeah,
there's nothing we can do about that.
No!
I mean,
fuck you, Papayin. That's
not even the next. That's not even the next segment. I really like that. I like Papayin. That's a fun word to say.
I know. That's why I keep saying it.
Go ahead, Danae. Talk about mean Aaron cutting your amazing sin.
So I spent an hour writing this sin, and I'm not exaggerating. This is, I actually drew a diagram. I had it all, like, I took a digital world builder and, like, created all this stuff so I could just make sure that I knew for sure that I had this in the bag. So in this episode, it starts off with Smithers walking out of his door, grass, no grass moment. He turns and he walks down the sidewalk, and the limo goes along beside him, and he just keeps walking. Well, because of the animation, as he walks, he takes three steps, and that's the length of one of the squares on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And then if you're listening to the audio, you can count how many steps he takes. He takes 44 steps during the limo chat. So that's about 14 total spaces that he walks down. But then whenever he stops and looks back, he's only moved a few feet from his house. And the reason that you can tell that is the distance from the house to a large building in the background. So anyway, the long of it, that the reason it took me so long is, how do I write all of this in one sin? So you kind of just have to trust that I did the research on it to like make it work. But Aaron didn't trust it, so he cut it.
Oh, stop it. There were two reasons I didn't think that we could do it. Number one is the proof of it. Like, if the proof isn't there, it's hard to visualize. The other part of it is I don't see it the same way you do. I don't think it looks like he's back where he started.
Oh, I remember this back and forth now, because I was also the script you lost, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that happened too.
You put that out of your mind.
Yeah, I did block that. I totally forgot about that. So anyways, there was a lot of sinning in that moment, a lot of continuity errors. But if he had walked all of those sidewalk tiles forward down the road, he would have been several houses away. But the way that it's shot, he's still basically right in front of his house where he began. So it, I mean, that's why I spent so much time trying to figure out the angle. Like, I had it written to where it's like pointing all this stuff out, but it's just, it's such a bulky thing to prove. And at the end of the day, it's like, is that going to be fun to do? Or is it I was so annoyed by it, though. It was like a dog on a bone. I couldn't get it out. And I finally was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to cut out all of my proof and I'm just going to ask the audience to trust me. And then my writing partner didn't trust me.
In general, when we face stuff like this, this is probably a good opportunity to talk about this. In general, if there is a disagreement on, you know, a sin that is provable or not provable, we usually cut it because it probably means that someone out there is, you know, going to be feeling like, well, that's not true. We call that argumentative,
Chris said something
right?
like that to me early on. He's like, if you're catching something, somebody else will.
Yeah, we call those argumentative. The idea that the other side can be argued pretty clearly. And so if that's the case, we usually cut argumentative stuff.
You know, this is where you and I are going to have to sit down and I'm going to have to walk you through this until you cave and agree with me. And then you write an apology.
Hold on. I got this. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, Danae, you were so right. We should not have cut that. I am so sorry.
Dude,
people's lives right on, would have been so much better with that sin in that script. I am so sorry for that.
That's right. Well, you know what?
I apologize. I will trust you next time.
Movement, but it's just not the right timing right now. So appreciate you.
Next time I will trust you.
Thank you. Super appreciate that. Was that like your version of pickle ricking where you don't want to have counsel with me? So you're just like.
Turn myself into a pickle?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the comments section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're going to each talk about a comment that we liked from the videos. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off?
Mine was really quick. I just thought it was really funny. Somebody commented on, not really funny, but I just thought it was interesting. Somebody commented for Rick and Morty. It was Bryce. Said, we don't have Shoney's where I live, so I assumed it was made up for the show as I had never heard of it before. And oh, to live your life, Bryce.
Oh, Jonathan, that
is never had to experience Shoney's.
That is amazing because my comment section is from Mike Zeitgeist, who says, wait, Shoney's is a real restaurant? I've never seen one in my life.
Their slogan used to be something too, like, or maybe, what was it? It was something like real American food or something like that.
Man,
maybe it still is.
Those restaurants, like, I mean, Shoney's is basically Denny's-ish, which some people don't have apparently, and Perkins, which is another restaurant like that that
yeah,
some people have.
Those are way better.
I mean, it's one of those things.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of others.
You guys have Village Inn, by the way. I just found that out the other day.
Village
I love
Inn?
Village Inn pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
their
yummy.
Triple berry pie is why I am the size I am. One of the reasons, at least. Yeah, so it's interesting regional versions of things that we don't realize are regional. Big Boy is another one of those.
The Big Boy and Shoney's, I think, are owned by the same people.
I think
people,
so.
Because Shoney's,
yeah.
Shoney's used to use the Big Boy. Now they have like a bear or something. Yeah. Big Boy is a burger joint.
Yeah, it's interesting.
My comment is from Twitter at Mr. Collect _ it says, and this is a question for us. Hopefully you guys can think of something. If you were a Simpsons character, what would your catchphrase be? I'll start because I had a second to think about it. I think it's pretty easy. Go live life and do stuff.
Apparently that's what I say all the time.
I'm good with whatever. It's Jonathan's for sure.
I have no idea. Fascinating.
It'd be fascinating.
I mean, we could just use our regular quote unquote podcast catchphrases.
There you go.
Maybe eat my jorts. Instead of eat my shorts, since I wear jean shorts sometimes, or some version of would definitely be me as well.
So you're gonna rip off somebody else's catchphrase?
Sure, why not?
That's what we do here.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wildest
dreams. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else in the world of pop culture that we've experienced recently. Who wants to go first? Danae?
I'll go. Yep. This one was inspired from @DocTrancy on Twitter, who asks, besides the Sinverse ones or any other one that you're a part of, if you could recommend a podcast, what would it be and or why? And so I've recommended many on the show, but today I'm going to do one that's called Hello from the Magic Tavern. And I apologize if I've talked about this before, but I think something humorous would be really kind of fun right now. I listen to a lot of different kinds of podcasts. Like if you're somebody who wants to listen to something that's like educational and really interesting with how they do their editing, I would recommend like Radiolab as an example, because you can learn something, and how they use audio to tell a story is really, really, really cool. I'll never forget some of the first Radiolab episodes I ever listened to. One was about the mantis shrimp. If you want to go back into their catalog and listen to that one, just how they explain how we see color and how the mantis shrimp sees color, and they use a choir to do it, is so, so cool. So that's like more educational and like everyday knowledge that you can sort of keep in your pocket for random conversation. But if you want like a humor podcast, I would recommend Hello from the Magic Tavern. Go back and listen to the first few episodes just to get a general sense of what's going on. But then it's all improv based. And one of my favorite parts of this podcast is listening to them be so improvisational that they start to kind of crack each other up and try to hold it together, which always makes me laugh. So it's a mood lifter for me. And so if that's something that you might need, listening to people be ridiculous in their imagination about being these people in this other world, and then having guests on that are all just sort of trying to crack each other up and tell a random story and keep track of all of the bullshit that they make up as they go, is to me one of the highlights of my podcast feed. And I have a lot of podcasts that I could recommend, but those are the two that I can think of right off the top of my head. And so that's my Beyond the Sins recommendation for this week.
That sounds beautiful these days.
I've listened to an episode of Hello from the Magic Tavern, and it is definitely tweaks that improv part of me that I love. I think I talked about Middleditch and Schwartz on here a while back, and it's kind of that same thing where it's just like listening to people try to keep track of the things they've made up and stay consistent with it is really fun. So
yeah. It totally. Is really fun. It is fantastical. Like the Hello from the Magic Tavern, it is like that D&D-esque type feel where it's, you know, like the characters are like a wizard and, you know, things like that. But the improvisational part is when they interview a flower and the flower has a really bad potty mouth. So and the guests that they have coming on to the show really just sprinkle it with some excitement. So they have consistent people on the show every week, and then they have a guest every week, and it's all from this magical tavern. But the premise is really cool because it's the idea that a person from Earth fell through a portal into this alternate reality and is podcasting from the alternate reality while he's stuck there from a magic tavern where he's interviewing the guests. So he's trying to figure out this world by talking to people. And so the improvisation's fun because they'll make stuff up and then they try to remember it all. And they're really, really good at it. And it's really fun. So I recommend that one.
What do you got, Jonathan?
I've recently gotten on a Psycho franchise kick. A podcast I listen to called The New Flush. Shout out to The New Flush, I guess. They have started covering the franchise. And I was like, I haven't seen Psycho in a while. So I rewatched the original. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to go ahead and I guess I'll watch the sequels. And so I mainly wanted to talk about Psycho 2 and 3. I haven't rewatched 4 yet. But I feel like this is a franchise. I feel like this is a movie that Psycho specifically, where I talk to a lot of people that have said that they just haven't even bothered to see the sequels. I have talked to younger people that don't even know there are sequels. They think there's just Psycho, and then maybe they know about the remake. Real quick, have you seen the sequels, Aaron, at all?
Nope.
Okay.
For me, it's just because Hitchcock didn't do them. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe I won't change your mind, but I will say this, like rewatching these, I've seen Psycho 2 quite a few times. I think Psycho 2 is borderline great. It's nowhere near as good as Psycho. Don't get me wrong, but the director, Richard Franklin, he's an Australian director, very talented guy, unfortunately passed away way too early. And the writer, Tom Holland, who would go on to do Fright Night, Child's Play, among other things. They are huge Hitchcock fans, clearly, and they it's really interesting reading interviews with them, because they talk about how when this was something they got offered, at first they were just like, hell no. But then they started thinking about it and they started coming up with some ideas. And, you know, they basically took the approach that critics are going to hate us. You know, diehard Hitchcock fans are going to hate us. So we're just going to do, you know, the best thing we can. And originally it was supposed to be a TV movie. They didn't have Perkins initially, so that was part of it. But even after they got Anthony Perkins on board, they were still going to make it a TV movie. But then when Universal announced that they were doing it, there was so much excitement from I guess, just, you know, people in America, that they were just, they got Tom Holland and Richard Franklin were able to talk them and Universal into giving them a little more money. And they released the theater. It was a hit. And it was a lot of the people were just like, wow, that was actually good. Or that was actually better than I thought it would be. And I still, you know, that was 83. So this is what, 37 years later. It really does hold up. The main thing that works in it is that they set it literally the 22 years after it comes out. They set it that far in advance. And like, he's just getting out of the mental, and he's just getting out of the hospital. He goes back to his house, which I found that that's a really odd plot point that you just kind of have to go with, because I don't think anybody would send him back to that fucking house. But there's a mystery at the center of it, because you don't know, and I'm not going to give it away for people that haven't seen it, you don't know whether or not killings start back up, but you don't know whether or not it's Helm or if it's somebody else. And there's also this whole, like, this real interesting, so there's a really cool mystery. It's actually really suspenseful. You know, Psycho wasn't a slasher film because slasher films didn't exist yet, but it did kind of create a lot of the tropes that slasher films would borrow later on. Psycho 2 is not really a slasher film, but it definitely pays... it definitely kind of shines a light on slasher films of the time, and it does have a couple of moments that are similar to slasher films. So that's kind of an interesting aspect to it. I also like that they do this whole thing where Perkins, where Norman Bates, you're not sure if it's him or not, but at the same time, there's this whole underline that there are people, let's just say, there are people that are trying to get back at him, and there are people that are trying to put him back in to the hospital. And so you kind of get the idea that, like, it kind of gets almost sad because you're just like, well, what if he is better, you know? And then these people are just like, you know, it's like a person trying to get over a drug addiction or something, and then people, you know, pull them right back in.
Mm.
So there's a lot, and Anthony Perkins, it's like he never left. I mean, he's so good, and I mean, just nails it. Psycho 3, not as good. Psycho 3 is definitely more in the vein of a slasher film, but it's still really interesting because Anthony Perkins actually directed it. It's a really kind of, it's a batshit movie in a lot of ways. Like, it opens up in a nunnery, and it's very odd. It's a very odd movie, but and it's a little sleazier than the first two. But I don't know, there's something about it I still really like. So I genuinely recommend those movies. If you're a Psycho fan that has just kind of stayed away from them, I think you should give them a shot. I think you'll be really interested. I think you'll find them better than you would imagine they would be. And if you just didn't know they existed, here you go. So I don't know. I just felt like shining a light on those, because I feel like they kind of get thrown in the midst of all the 80s horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, there's something else going on there with them, I think, that's interesting. A lot of it has to do with Perkins. The fact that he decided to keep playing the role. If they had, like, recast that role, I don't think they would have worked. I know, because there were rumors that Christopher Walken was being considered for part two if they couldn't get Perkins. But I think after watching the remake, it's pretty obvious that it's really, you can't watch a Psycho movie without him. I just don't think it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked.
That wasn't the only problem with the remake, and I like Vince Vaughn, but that's part of it, I think.
Well, I mean, the original, he was so good in the original, he didn't get any other parts. He would, you know, he typecast himself so much in that, and he's a great actor, and it's just, he, you is. Know, it's kind of one of those he's careers that you wonder if he had done other stuff first, how that would have been different.
Well, and even when it's really interesting, especially like in the 70s and 80s, when he would be in stuff, they would almost always have some sort of Psycho reference he had to deal with.
There's
like I don't even remember the movie, but there's a movie where he plays a director, and he's not even the main character in the movie, but he plays a director, and the film he's working on, he has to direct a shower scene. I mean, it's just stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
He has a really talented son too, I think is worth mentioning, Oz Perkins. He directed the Hansel and Gretel movie, that just, or Gretel and Hansel, was in the movie Legally Blonde. pretty interesting.
And his family started a chain of restaurants, not unlike Shoney's, called Perkins. So, you know, there's that as well. I'm going to talk about Artemis Fowl on Disney Plus, which just
came
out.
How did you already see this?
I'm a critic. I have special privileges.
I have special privileges.
Yeah, no, Disney
Is
Plus.
Is it terrible?
Disney Plus sent me a screening link. And so,
And
it's awful. It's really bad, which I think a lot of people were kind of worried about.
I heard that sound from, what's that game show? Price is Right.
Have you read the books, Danae?
What's that?
Have you read the books, Danae?
No.
Okay.
Neither have I. And I should state that as well. It's the kind of bad that is disappointing because there's promise there. It really, to me, felt a lot like Wrinkle in Time. Do you remember Wrinkle in Time?
Mm-hmm.
Wrinkle in Time
we
is...
We send that.
What's that?
We send that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We did. Yeah. That movie is awful. That's a bad movie. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's sad that it's a bad movie because there's talented people involved. There's a world there that could be very interesting. And just for whatever reason, it never locks into what could make that movie great. And Artemis Fowl feels the same way to me. There's a lot of conceptual stuff that I dig. I love the Irish accents. I love that it takes place in Ireland. You know, I love some of the creature work. But man, it's bad. It's just really bad. If you ever wanted to know what Olaf would sound like if he tried to do Batman voice for an entire movie,
oh no.
Have I got the movie for you? So
Olaf doing a Batman voice. That's something that I have to see now.
I haven't seen the movie, but and is this what they talk about? Is this the first episode of the writers' room for Sif Pop? Did I see that?
Yes,
in the description?
Yeah, they chatted
so
about their opinions of it. Yeah,
But I will say, I have read most of the books, and I will say that actually I think I've read all of them. But I will say that one thing I noticed in the trailer versus reading the book is in the books he is a villain.
He
is not a good kid, and it looked like in the movie they kind of Disney-fied him.
Oh, for sure. Sure, he's the hero.
Where he's more of like at the best, he's an. I guess he is an anti-hero in the book in a way, but he's still. I mean, he's pretty much a full-on villain, and the book kind of explores him becoming more of a villain. Despicable Me reminds me a little bit of Artemis Fowl, like as far as.
That's,
you know,
interesting, because there's a line that really confused me towards the end of the movie, like right at the end of the movie, where he says something about being a supervillain. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it made no sense to me.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about the books, and I think that's why the books were popular, because it was something very different. You know, like, that's not something you read in kids' literature a lot. And it wasn't afraid to go to those dark places with his character. I mean, it's still like, you know, they're fun, but it looked like the movie was not doing that at all. And so that I can't imagine fans of the books are going to like the movie if that's the case. You're completely changing.
Yeah, I did not.
The character.
I did not like this movie. I wish I did. I wish I did, because I really did enjoy the world.
Should have watched Psycho 2 and Psycho 3.
That's right. I should have. It would have been much, much more edifying. You're absolutely right. Well, that's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. Hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, I'll say I'm sorry, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter. And be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
We got some forever stamps, like, I don't know, 4 years ago. We just don't mail anything anymore.
And you haven't used them in forever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they call them forever stamps.
I don't even know how much stamps are right now.
I think basically in order to keep the U.S. Postal Service going, stamps are now a kidney, I think is what you have to pay for one. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm only 7 minutes late. Ooh, 7 minutes.
Have you just been kind of doing them when you get them, or do you have to do like a certain time of day, or... Do you wait for your voice to get... I think you seem to sound the same no matter what time of day it is, though.
You know what I've noticed is my sin reading gets better about a third of the way into my read. And... I think I either need to figure out how to find that at the beginning and not like rev into it, or I need to circle back around and do the first third of the script again. You know what I mean? Like, hello, Danae. We can see you.
Uh-huh. Hi.
You look really excited. You're like,
yeah, I'm super excited that my brand new computer is not working. Very exciting.
Your recording studio looks really nice. It's cleared off enough that I can see the beware of attack turtle sign, which is always a good sign.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying putting up my personalized stuff everywhere in my office. So yeah, that sign I've had since I was like 12. My beware of attack turtle sign. And it's just like one of those things that I've had in my drawers as keepsake. Now I'm getting in all those keepsakes and pulling them out and sticking things up. In fact, over here, I have another cool one. Here, I'll show it to you. One of those.
Nice.
It says, keep smiling even though you're swamped. And it has Kermit on it. And it makes me so happy because sometimes I feel swamped, but he makes me smile. So I have it in my little, maybe I should put it right here so you guys can see it.
Kermit the Frog, by definition, has a cloaca.
I know. And you can get your shirt right now at cinemasins.com. Just click on the store.
How are you hanging that stuff up?
With magic. I'm a spellcaster.
Oh, it's magic.
Did you already have nail holes up there?
No, I'm just using like those old tacks.
Just use thumbtacks. Poke them into the wall.
That'll work for a clock?
It's a really, really inexpensive light clock.
Oh, gosh.
If that clock had any comedic timing, it would have fallen right then.
Shut up. Don't encourage it. Oh, and here's the other one. This one has a cute little bunnies on it that says, love makes your tummy tickle.
Oh.
Which is actually a little bit bullshit. Guys, I played Dungeons & Dragons last night, and my character super almost died. Can I tell you about it real quick? Okay, cool. I know we have so much time. So one of the people in our party polymorphed into a giant ape who has intelligence of -2. And so he was pulling on this rope to get this treasure we had found because it was really heavy. We couldn't lift it. So he turned into an ape who was super strong to be able to pull up the treasure. And he's doing a great job. He gets the treasure up. We're super happy. And then the ape got mad. And was like kind of like defensive. And so the DM who's in charge of the game basically says that the guy who's playing the character that turned into an ape needed to roll the dice and see if he was smart enough to understand what was going on. And he rolled really, real bad. So essentially, because he was an ape and not able to like get to his senses, he attacked us, his friends, and literally almost killed everybody in the party. It was like, what a horrible way to die. There's a really good chance that my character is never going to make it. I understand that. I've already made peace with the fact that like my character is probably going to die and like all that stuff. But to die by your own party member who turned into an ape that lost his temper, that's a terrible ending.
Well, today I am sorry that one of your friends turned into a really dumb ape and almost killed you.
Thank you. It was really traumatizing.
And I'm sorry, Danae, my mind wanders. I was not diminishing what you were saying about your... I'm sorry that you almost died.
I already tweeted about it, so I feel better.
Twitter makes the whole world better, right?
So,
you don't really die, so...
So, you guys are the fourth and fifth person I've tried to tell my D&D story to who literally just kind of, like, ignored it and kept doing something else.
No, I didn't ignore it.
You know how we talked about dreams? You know, people don't want to hear your dreams last week?
Or your spreadsheet stories.
Or your spreadsheet stories. And I'm like, maybe D&D is like that. You know, maybe the adventures of my character just aren't that interesting. And I tried to tell you it really succinctly and quickly. Like, I left out so much stuff, you know?
No, like, I'm just really rude.
I didn't tell you about my Drake that was also attacking. And I didn't tell you, like, you know, that my friend is wearing a cursed necklace right now. Yeah. And that's crazy. And, you know, like... And then after he wasn't an ape anymore, we hogtied him and put a gag in his mouth because we didn't trust him. And we all had to have a come to Jesus conversation about telling each other before we turned into apes.
I just think there are things in our life that some people won't connect to in the same way that we do. And we've had that conversation with movies. I'll go off on a movie and you'll glaze over or start playing a game on your phone.
I never do that. What are you talking about? I never come back and say I wasn't listening. I'm not that person.
Cue up 10 years of recorded audio evidence that you are indeed that person.
Shall we do the show? Let's do it.
That was like me a couple years ago when I when I died. And then I was like, then I got, I rolled a natural 20 and now I was like super not dead.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Only your situation's way more important than mine.
Don't make me shove my elbow in your pear forest.